Kija, I'm sorry for my melody. I was not able to focus on melody. I was thinking about Jesus Christ and Fritu Prabhu. Somehow something came to my mind, so please, my humble apology. And in fact, Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Kunja Bihari, that's the way how Fritu Prabhu is always singing. So, humble apology. I hope that I didn't distract you too much. Hare Krishna. So today is Christmas, and Happy Krishna or Happy Krista or Hare Krista. So today is the day we can speak a little bit more about Jesus Christ, and right, Mataji? And for that reason, yes, since I have laptop, I would like just to exchange place. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, dear Vaishnavas, today we are reading from 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the creation of the fourth order, chapter 30, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, verse number 11. Yad Yuvam Pitur Adesham Agrahishtam Mudanvita Ato Vam Ushati Kirtir Lokan Anu Bhavishyati Yad Yuvam Pitur Agrahishtamudanvitam Atvaushati Kirti Lokananubhavishyati. Yat, because Yuyam, you, Pitu, of your father, Adesham, the order, Agrahishta, accepted, Muda Anvitaha, in great happiness, Ato, therefore, Va, your, Ushati, attractive, Kirti, glorious, Lokananu, throughout the universe, Bhavishyati will become possible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Guru Parampara Ki Jai. Because you have with pleasure accepted within your heart the orders of your Father and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Purport. Since every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has small independence. Sometimes unintelligent men ask why one is put into the miserable condition, even though everyone is under control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of his minute independence, the living entity can obey or disobey the order of the Supreme Lord. If he obeys the Supreme Lord's order, he becomes happy. If he does not, he becomes unhappy. Therefore, the living entity creates his own happiness and unhappiness. The Supreme Lord does not enforce this on anyone. The Supreme Lord praised the Prachetas because they all faithfully obeyed the orders of their father. The Lord therefore blessed the sons of King Prachinabarishad because they obeyed their father's order. Once again, translation. Because you have with pleasure accepted within your heart the orders of your father and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Om agyanati miranda siya agyananjana shalakaya chakshur minta minatasmai shi gurave namaha namah om vishnu padaya krishna prishtaya bhutale shimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste sarasati deve goravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschata desha tarine jaya shi krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shi advaita gadadara shivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Vaishnavas, as you already said, Merry Christmas. Indeed, today is the day when whole world is celebrating appearance of Lord Jesus Christ. And for today, I will speak something about Jesus Christ, and which is quite natural, I guess. And I will try to connect. At least try to see what are the connection between Christianity, personality of Jesus Christ, and maybe Hinduism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and Lord Krishna. And just a few days ago, when we were looking at the verse on the board, I didn't even know that I will speak on Christmas. And one devotee just a side commented, he said, please, don't be sentimental. I was thinking, okay, what does it mean? Usually Krishna is speaking through others. So I took that remark very cautiously. And for that reason, I just tried to prepare quite, I don't want to say scientific approach to the subject, but at least I'm putting forward certain arguments which are coming from real research of modern time on the subject of Jesus Christ and Christianity. So before doing that, I would just like to define what does it mean, which it's very important, what does it mean to be sentimental? Because before, I just wanted to prepare my class in that in that direction. So my question is, maybe just one comment, what does it mean to be sentimental? We are, at least in our society, able to hear many times that sentimental, usually that refers to opposite gender, but anyway, fact. Any idea? What does it mean to be sentimental? It's very simple, in fact, but I think that Jatu Prabhu raised his hand first. Yes, Prabhu. That you have feelings? Okay. So that means to be sentimental. Hare Krishna Prabhu and Stoka Krishna, then we will... Yes. Influenced by feelings. Feelings are overpervading and, you know, real truth is somehow hidden. Soka, Krishna Prabhu, please. Sen? Ah, that's interesting definition. Okay, thank you. Sentimental means 100% based on emotions, sentiments. Yeah, okay. That's interesting. Whatever. I just wanted to clarify that because that's very important. We are able to hear many times sentimental, don't be sentimental, but we are not sure what does it mean exactly. So I just went a little bit through the etymology of the word sentimental, and I came to know that that's more or less new word in a dictionary. It's only 250 years old. Maybe mid-18th century is defined, and more or less it's related to friends and some movements there and some poetry coming from that country, and more or less the core of meaning of sentimental and sentiment means to have too much sentiment, and means something is over pervading, and that's, as Sridhar Chaitanya Prabhu is saying, emotions. And what are the opposite words of sentiment or sentimental? Hard-hearted, indifferent, pragmatic, unemotional, unromantic, and so on. I just want to bring also Srila Prabhupada's comments. Why is it important for us to know what does it mean sentimental? Srila Prabhupada is saying, thus is to be understood that a Vaishnava should be completely conversant with Vedanta philosophy, yet he should not think that static Vedanta is all in all, and therefore be unattached to chanting the holy name on the other side. A devotee must know the importance of simultaneously understanding Vedanta philosophy and chanting of the holy names. And second quote for Srila Prabhupada, Krishna consciousness is based on pure understanding, not by any sentimental provocation. And that's very important. Obviously, Srila Prabhupada wants to say that really balanced approach. And in our life, especially he's referring now to devotees, devotees have to have very sentimental side, they have to have heart, but in the same time they have to have head. I was reflecting, okay, how our society is sometimes perceived. We are usually seen on the street just chanting. And from that point of view, someone can say you are just pure sentimental, it's no philosophy, you are just chanting and singing. And that's one of the remarks Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got from Prakashananda Saraswati in Benares as a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing and dancing, and Prakashananda said, well, what does it mean you're just sentimental? And he was using one particular word in Bengali, and that word is Gopal Hari. What does it mean sentimentalist on Bengali? You can read in many places in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You are... Any know of you? It's I guess, quite common. You are Bhavuka. Bhavuka, yes. And that means sentimentalist in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada, now this is interesting part. How can we understand word sentimentalist? Two ways. First one is definitely, Bhavuka means he addressed Chaitanya as a sentimentalist. But in the same time, there is another meaning of the same word. One who has developed bhava, complete emotion, and he's able to express those emotions on another sense. So on the one level, sentimental can meaning just being very shallow. You don't have any understanding, but you are doing something because of emotions. I like it. And there is another meaning which is much deeper. It means that's something which is completely, fully expressed. And Srila Prabhupada, in another part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is speaking about Bhavuka, and he's translating Bhavuka as fanatism also. And that's very much in alignment of Srila Prabhupada's explanation of religion without philosophy. Srila Prabhupada would say two things. If we are practicing something without philosophical understanding, there are two consequences. First possibility is it's just pure sentimentalism, and second one, it can develop in religious fanatism. On another side, if we are having philosophy without religion, it's just pure mental speculation. So I just wanted to say this because it's very important for us and important to know what Srila Prabhupada wanted from his devotees and his followers. He wanted that there is heart and there is also head, and it goes together. And more or less, that's completely embodied in the personality of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is called Bhakti Vedanta. There is Bhakti, and there is also end of knowledge, Vedanta of Veda. So Srila Prabhupada brings those two sides together. And now, something about our relationship with Jesus Christ, if there is any. And I will speak a little bit about verse. And since now it's already 8:20, I think I will speak for maybe 15, maximum 20 minutes, if you are fine, just to go over the time. This verse is quite appropriate for today's day, because the verse is speaking about the family. And that's more or less at the present time in Christianity, especially on this day, on Christmas. It means it's family day, when family is together, they celebrate. Or at least, if they don't celebrate God, at least they are together and they are trying to offer respect to each other, share the presence, and that more or less means Christmas in a present time. And here is quite appropriately said that, which can be applied on the personality of Jesus Christ. And it said that you have accepted within your heart the orders of your Father. And that's something what Jesus Christ is always telling. I'm coming on behalf of my Father. I'm doing on His behalf. And you have executed those orders very faithfully. Also, that's Jesus Christ. And your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. More of what's happening now is that really personality of Jesus Christ is celebrated all around the world, even more or less 2,000 years after. Still, we can argue that Jesus Christ is the most famous person. He's like a brand. Everyone heard, everyone knows about Jesus Christ in the Western world, in the Eastern world, everywhere. So His personality is so popular. Everyone knows about Jesus Christ. But today morning, while preparing the class, I was trying to really find some internet sources which are describing who is the most famous person in the history of the world. So that I was just trying a little bit to explore, is there any reference which really defines who is so glorious, who is the person most famous in the history. So I just went to one website, and the question was, who is the most famous person in the world ever? Ever, so it means we are going to history. And second question, in the brackets, if they walked into a room, would you recognize them initially, immediately? So it means some famous person is coming, will you be able to recognize that person? So I was thinking just, well, okay, what will happen, first came to my mind, what will happen if Krishna will come? What do you think? Vaishnavas would recognize him. That's a Krishna. Interesting enough, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that people of that time were able to recognize Krishna. Some of them, only few were able to recognize Krishna. And some of them recognized him according to their relationship with him, as an enemy, as a death personified, or so on. I was thinking about what will be with Jesus Christ. You know, he came as a shepherd, and then I said, go away, you know. Maybe people will never even recognize him, and they will not accept him. But more or less, there were three categories in this question of famous person. Is that person should be famous, should be renowned and celebrated all around the universe, or all around the planet. And there are many names on that list, on that website, starting with Elvis Presley, Hitler, Shakespeare, Lennon, Michael Jackson, Queen Elizabeth, and so on and so on. And of course there was a voting list, and that was the most surprising for me. Can you imagine who is the, according to that website, who is the most famous person in history ever? Who? Me? The Jesus was in second place. First place, surprise. Huh? Krishna, God. You will be surprised, definitely. Michael Jackson. But it just shows how it goes. In a present age, and everyone speaks about Michael Jackson because he died, and he's quite a prominent person. But as we go back to history, and only a few personalities, Shakespeare, there is even no Muhammad, there is no Krishna, only Jesus Christ. So just show how this world is recognizing famous personalities. So this is an interesting observation. Whatever. For us, coming from Western world, from Catholic background, and I'm considering myself as that because I was the one going regularly to church as a small boy till my teenage time. Personality of Jesus plays very significant, if not even crucial, role. And I remember my beginning of Krishna consciousness some years ago. I had an issue in my mind. Issue was, am I rejecting Jesus Christ by accepting Krishna? So that was my issue, which was really going for on. I'm Jai Shri Radha Gopinatha. And that was really an issue for me personally, because on one side I was noticing and I was very much attracted to Srila Prabhupada's book. But in the same time I just said, wow, where is Jesus in that whole story? And I remember my older brother, I had an older brother, he would say, you are rejecting Jesus Christ. You are turning his back to him. And that was the issue for me. But I was very happy seeing that Srila Prabhupada seeing and present Jesus Christ as his guru and the one we are taking inspiration from. And that somehow gave me solitude, and I was able to base my Krishna consciousness on that. And even now, and I know that many devotees also are thinking like that, they don't think they reject Jesus Christ. They just see that Krishna consciousness is some kind of upgrade of their faith. And that's how do I see. Sometimes devotees or friend, they're asking me, are you still Christian? I said, yes, I am. I am, because basically, you know, I'm not rejecting anything. I'm just accepting something more. So that's something which is quite important, and in interreligious dialogue, it's always important to mention that, of course, we are not following Jesus Christ in a way it's expected from maybe official church, but still, we are very much follower of Jesus Christ, and I would even dare to say we are follower of Jesus Christ even more than common people outside. So that's just to clarify that point. Another point which we can raise from our perspective of followers of Vedic culture, or at least Vedic thoughts, or India, we can see and we can question, is there any connection, and how connection is deep, between Christianity, personality of Jesus Christ, and Hinduism? What do you think? Is there any connection, or we are just two complete different, separate, maybe inimical worlds? Any idea? Is there any connection? Jesus went to India, Mataji Rupa Manjari. They are both personal. So we can see our philosophy is personalistic, and also Christianity is definitely accepting Supreme as a person, Kanchanavali, and then Chatu. Yeah, also Vaishnavas, because they worship. Jatu Prabhu? Yeah? He also preached love for God. Yes, those are the things which are definitely correct. There is something more. Panduji? Definitely. So let us now look what some philosophers and historians are speaking about this topic. What's a connection, really? One historian from Belgium, Konrad Elst, he's from Leuven. Maybe someone of you heard about him. His name is Konrad Elst. He's in the early 50s. Still very active, writing at the Leuven University, visiting India very, very often. What he said, he's quoting Saint Augustine of Hippo. And that said, Saint Augustine is a very famous figure in early Christianity. He is the one who said, hate the sin, not the sinner. That's the person who said, every sinner has future and every saint has a history. That Konrad Elst, he is quoting Saint Augustine, who is a Christian saint from 2nd century, who said, we never stop to look towards India. He's one of the first Christian father. He said, we never stop to look towards India, where many things are proposed to our admiration. So that Saint Augustine, who was preaching in North Africa, in Algiers, he said, we are always looking towards India. And he is one of the most important figure in early Christianity. He is the one, what famous he said? Yeah, his famous quotation is, Lord, make me chaste, but not yet. That's the very same Saint Augustine. So he said, we are looking towards India all the time. Now let us go to some other modern philosopher and historians. There are some thoughts and some research from Shinandananda Prabhu or Stephen Knapp, then from Sri Aurobindo and Sri Ravi Shankar. All those people made quite substantial research. And they will say that Jesus even went to India to take initiation. That's one of the thoughts. Before, you know, early childhood of Jesus Christ and adulthood is not described so much in the Gospel. So until age of 28, 29, we don't know what really Jesus Christ was doing. So they will say, Jesus went to India, he took initiation. Some of them will say also, Jesus went to India after resurrection, question. But whatever. And they will say there are many things very similar in Christian practice and in Hinduism. So they will say like this, and there are a few points. There is worshipping of Virgin Mary, which is quite similar, maybe borrowed from Hindu cult of Devi. Worshipping of Devi is like a worshipping of Mother Mary. So, rosary. Said rosary is coming, that's Indian thing, Japamala. And most probably Christians, they took it from Hindus. If you, maybe some of you are not familiar with the rosary, that's more or less looking like our japa, but there is additional extension where you can chant all Christian prayers, and I guess you know how it looks. That's also round with many beads. I don't know, there is no fixed number of there is fixed. 54, you see? Even I didn't know that. It's half of the second half and you are to one way. Yes. That's connection with the India. Then also frank incense, this very smelly nice thing. Incense in church they are using like tamyan. You know, they burn it and it smells like that, smells wonderful. They said it's coming also from India. That's idea, they took it. So usage of bells. You know, in church from time to time, even during the Mass, they are using bells, not so extensively as we are, but also there are big bells on a church. Said also, idea coming from Buddhists and from Hindus. Interesting. Then, sign of cross. Also, I didn't even know that. They are using Anangayasa. That's something. But also they will speak, there is also one more connection with Christianity. Christianity, Hinduism, it's a Holy Trinity. And they will divide it on many ways. There are many ideas. Is it Guna avatars, Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva, or that's Bhagavan, Brahman, Paramatma? But that's another understanding, what's the connection between Christianity and Hinduism. And what else is there? Unfortunately, I'm not going so often to church now to observe people how they are doing. Most probably you are right, yeah. But that's, I guess, this mudra is expression of a soul, humble attitude, and you are approaching supreme or higher authority. Interesting, yeah, thank you. And since now it's 35, I had some more points. I would like just to finish with one more point, and if you want, I can say something more. But one additional important personality in early Christianity is Origen. I guess you heard for him. He's also one of the earliest Christian father, and he more or less had a crucial role in defining Holy Spirit Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that very same Origen, he was completely in favor of science, of doctrine, of reincarnation. It was 100 and some year after Jesus Christ. And interesting enough, immediately after Origen, and also during his time, there was certain opposition in early Christian church, which was trying systematically to cut off relationship, or initially drawing from Hinduism. And then we have later Christian saints, they were labeling Hindus and Brahmins, and everything was coming from India as a heretic teaching. And more or less, due to the century, we can see separation of identity, Christianity, Hindu tradition. But as you're saying, Prabhu, there is definitely many things which are in common, and that difference are more or less external. And for that reason, I will just skip many of my notes, and I will just say last part, and I will quote Srila Prabhupada, which really established Jesus Christ as a strong connection with and in alignment with our philosophy. Srila Prabhupada is saying, "The teaching of Jesus Christ are universal, complete in themselves, complete in them, and perfectly salvific. They are Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religion of the soul in its loving relationship to the Supreme Being, unadulterated by the falsity of body designation or upadis, designations such as Indian, American, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, and so on." So that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying about him, that his teaching is quite universal, that's Sanatana Dharma. So I will not go more into detail, because I have many more things which are describing maybe Gospels and so on, but I like to respect order of the house. And now I would like to close my small presentation of personality of Jesus Christ and our connection with Jesus Christ. Maybe one more important thing to say is historically that early Church of Jesus Christ took inspiration from India, and after many centuries later, 15th century, 16th century, they were coming to India in different mood. They want to spread Christianity, and we had first community in India, Portuguese community and Spanish community, and the way then and Christianity entering in India in different way, they tried to spread message of Jesus Christ in quite competitive mood. And there are many nice stories and personalities which were playing such an important role in that mission, but unfortunately we don't have time to speak of them. One of them is Roberto Di Nobili. He's, I guess some of you heard for that person. India was quite united and also quite socially divided, so no one was able to influence Brahmanas. Although some Christian preachers, they were came to India, but they were not able to do anything. They were not able to make an influence. Only thing which they were able to gain is some low caste people. And there is then one famous Christian, I think he was Portuguese, Roberto Di Nobili. He came to idea. He's going to India, but he's going to play role of Christian sannyas. So he was wearing Indian robe, he was accepting all Indian customs, but in the same time he was spreading teaching of gospel. And that's the first time they were able to also influence certain Brahmanas. And that's one of the way how they entered in India. Roberto Di Nobili. So that's some interesting detail. Okay, dear Vaishnavas, thank you very much. If you have any comment, please, if you have any question also. So I just wanted to shed the light a little bit on our connection with Christianity and Christian connection with Hinduism and ultimately with Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is quite strong in fact. And as we can see from Srila Prabhupada, there is no any problems in understanding Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Please. Gopal Hari Prabhu. It's important to know how Srila Prabhupada is marking Jesus Christ as a Shakya Vesha avatar. We have few avatars, or at least we had Guna avatar, Yuga avatar, Manva avatar, we had Purusha avatars, we had also Shakya Vesha avatar. And that's the Shakya Vesha avatar, that's the position of Jesus Christ, one who is empowered, perfected, spiritual being. That's the way how we see Jesus Christ. Yeah, thank you. Pandu. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Ladies, someone would like to say something just to balance, not to... Yes, Kanchanavali, please. Link and understand each other, right? Yeah. What day? That's a nice point. Thank you. It's very important to. Yeah, that's a very wise approach. Thank you. I think very important, in effect, to be respectful. Yeah, otherwise, you are not respectful. Yeah. 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 And just last point, by which we are going to close the class, is understanding that we are living in a Christian world, in the world population. I didn't even know how big percentage of population of planet Earth is in Christian. Amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. More or less it's 33%. Islam takes only 18, almost half, just a little bit more than half, than Hindus 16. So Hindus are just half of. No, I'm not now in the figures, I'm just in the percentages. So Christianity 33%, Islam 18, Hinduism 16, and then atheists and are 16% also as Hindus. So that's important to know that we are living in a Christian world still, and more or less also important thing that many of us devotees, converts from Christianity, we are still having that Christian ethical background and framework, which we are in which we are trying to implement Gaudiya's theology. And also at the end we have to also pay respect to Jesus Christ. 2,000 years after, everyone is speaking about Jesus Christ. He's so prominent figure. So in this age of Kali, he is really one of the Patita Pavanas, savior of the fallen, and that's his position. So dear Vaishnavas, thank you very much. Srimad Gantaraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jesus Christ ki jai.
Yeah, even that, many things.